You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Yesterday, I put in a new mailbox post at our house, and it all stems from we got a new porch. Our porch roof was bad, and so we had to get a new porch, and of course, the new porch didn't match the old mailbox, so through some refurb and some new postage, posting, and actually, So I have to say this. I woke up yesterday morning and said, "Hey, today, Kendra, is the day that I'm going to put the new post in." And then I realized it was a new post for the post. So it was a post, because the post was for the post, mail post, heard that phrase. And then I thought, when I was done putting in the post for the mailbox, then it would be a post. And now if Kendra came out and took a picture, this is all in my head, I'm telling you. Kendra came and took a picture of me putting in after I was done with the post, it would be a post. And if I pretended like I knew what I was doing, putting in a post for a mailbox, and she took a picture of it, it would be a poser picture. But anyway, I put in a post for the mailbox because I had to match, and we took our old mailbox down, and I spray painted it and all that, and I was thinking about this process of putting in a mailbox post, and I wanted to tell you about how it's going to be done. I'm not going to do it here because it's really messy, and we do have ATU, and one time I smashed a mirror up here and made a mess everywhere, and so I'm not going to make a mess today, but I want to talk to you about the ingredients that go into making a good mailbox post. First of all, you need a post. Generally, a post is the best thing for putting a mailbox post in. And of course, safety gear. I'm wearing appropriate safety gear. And then these are some old pieces from our old play deck thing, sandbox thing. And they're going to be great because they make some supports. Once you level your post, then you can mount some supports to hold it in place. So you would need these. And of course, to level your post, you need a level. And so the level is used to make sure that it's facing vertical this way and this way, and that's important. Otherwise, your mailbox is leaning to the side, and then it's crooked, and then your mail falls out everywhere, and then you call Amazon customer service, and then they send you a new one because that's what they do. But anyway, so you need that. What else do you need? Okay, of course you need. I usually have a trowel. This is my mixing trowel, and then you need. I'll come back to that. And then you need. Concrete mix. Ooh, see, I'm making a mess. Concrete mix. This is an 80-pound bag. Whatever you do, don't pour water right there. Okay, and then I usually have a bucket. This is my official grout mixing bucket, and because of the way I am, it actually says grout mixing. Just so you don't confuse it with the other 5-gallon buckets that are in my home. And this bucket can tell you lots of stories. It can tell you about our bathroom downstairs and the kids' bathroom upstairs. And anyway, but that's not the point now, about our fence. And then you need water, and nothing but the best. Go with pure filtered water, which actually I didn't. I just grabbed some out of our rain barrel when I was at home doing this. But you need all of these ingredients. And what you do, like I said, first you get your post in place, and you level it up, and you make sure that it is in the hole. By the way, you dig a hole. A hole is important, too. You dig a hole. And then they say, what is it? There was a statistic, and I forget what that statistic is. But something like, let's just say 1978 19/78 of the percentage of your post should be the depth of your hole. You can count on that. And then you dig the hole, you put the post in it, make sure it's level, and then you use your supports. Often you would stake these into the ground, and you would have a stake there, and you make sure that the supports are there to hold it level. And then once you do that, there's some couple schools of thought here on how to do this. Some suggest that you actually pour your dry concrete mix into your hole to about 6-inch depth, just like that, and then you mix the remainder of your concrete with water mixed into a bucket, and then pour that in and just kind of let it go, because then the water will seep down in and fill the hole and harden in there. Other schools of thought say just leave it all dry and let the rain do it. Other school of thought, of course, is mix the entire amount in the bucket with the concrete mix and the water. And you want a good, you want a good slurry. You don't want it to be too wet. You certainly don't want it to be too dry. If it's too dry, it's really hard to work with. But all of that is important. So you mix it, you pour it into your hole, and then most people would stop. Most people that would say, call themselves home improvement do-it-yourselfers would stop. But a professional would not stop there. Because even though, and of course, I'm assuming you've already made a really good mix here. You're making sure that there isn't any dry chunks in your water mixture with your concrete. But most people would stop there. But a professional does another step. And this step is something that is often ignored, and it almost seems stupid. But I used I'm not a professional, by the way, but I play one on TV. But I have used a stick like this. If you're like a for real professional concrete company, they actually have like a thing you stick into the ground and it into the cement, and it vibrates, and they go. And the reason they do this is because you need to get the air out of your concrete mix, because once that concrete sets, if there's an air bubble in there, that bubble will be a complete, it'll be a point of fracture. It'll be a point of weakness in the concrete. And so if you have air bubbles in the concrete, the whole foundation could crumble. Your whole, despite the fact that you've leveled it and done all this work and put all this into it, if there's air bubbles in your concrete after it dries, those air bubbles will become weaknesses in the foundation of your concrete. And so I often, like I said, I stick a pole in and kind of mix and make sure that there's no air bubbles there. Again, professional companies have this dealy. They stick down in and it will get it all out. But the thing about the air bubbles is that when you think about it, air is not really a bad thing. How can that be that big of a deal? You know, it's not like we're mixing our concrete with, I don't know, paper, which I guess has been done too in history, but it's not like it's something that's clearly like mushrooms. Let's mix our concrete with mushrooms. No. But air is like, why is that big of a deal? And it's because of this issue of the foundation fracturing. And it's really important to get those air bubbles out. Because if you don't get the air bubbles out, it might not seem like a big deal at the time, but later it can cause some serious issues with breakage, with failure, with, at the very least, broken concrete, broken foundations. And so we're starting a series today. We're going to be going over the next 2 months based on this hashtag, popular hashtag, which is hashtag no filter. And this hashtag is, if you're familiar with online social media, it is a thing that, you know, well, first of all, a hashtag is a way to group similar content together, and he uses what once upon a time was called the pound sign, perhaps the number sign, but now it's called the hashtag. You know, welcome to the 21st century, and this hashtag groups things together. But this no filter hashtag is this idea where you take a picture and then you put hashtag no filter, which the concept means that the amazing beauty that you are exuding from this picture is purely natural. There are no additives. There are no changes. I always eat breakfast on my deck, which happens to be in front of the beach. I know you think I live in, I know I live in the Heights, but it's in front of the beach. You don't realize that? And the stars are in the sky, and there's a moon, and there's two moons. May the fourth be with you. And so that's the idea. The whole no filter hashtag means like this is perfect. And I think I shared this with you guys last week at the offer celebration, which if you look up in the ceiling, you can see we had a fun time. There's a lot of balloons up there. But 30%, they say, of no filter hashtags, a third of them are actually filtered. But you can get filters. And as you see in our backdrop here, and I think, I mean, these are all different filters. These are real people. These are not actors. These are not stock photos. These are real people. And all these have filters on them. I mean, John's got a rockin' goatee, but it's not quite that, demonstrative. But the idea with this no filter is I want to talk about when we should use a filter over the next 8 weeks. Talking about when are the times when we should be filtering things. We should allow them to say, okay, a filter means something that's going to take away the things that don't belong there. And a photo filter takes away, like they even have ones now that, and I think this is going on up here with Michelle, like her eyes are extra sparkly and adds all these glow and all these things. I'm not implying that she's not that way, Scott. That's natural. Right, see, no filter, hashtag. That's her nose. It takes away the imperfections that makes it look good. And I want to talk about how we need to filter out some things throughout this series in all sorts of different areas. So we're going to be all over the place. But the common theme is, when do we need to use a filter? When do we need to take some things out? And today, I want to talk about this idea of thoughts and the things we think about and the things that we need to filter our thoughts. Because just like the air in the concrete mix, even though it might not seem like a big deal, even though it takes some intentionality, if you're going to get the air out, you have to say, oh, I am going to now take a step and add this step to it. It's going to take some work. It's not easy unless you have one of those things. It takes a lot of work to make sure that there's no air bubbles in this concrete mix. And so you have to work hard at it. You have to be intentional about it. And you have to do it so that when you don't do it, because if you don't do it, it will affect the future of the concrete mix. It will affect the foundation. And I want to say that the same thing is true about our thoughts. And the point that I want you guys to get this week is that with no filter, our thinking can be tainted by sin. If we're not careful about what we allow into our thoughts, into our brains, into our minds, we might think it's not a big deal, it's not going to matter. What's a little dot, 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 fill in the blank there? But inevitably, those things work their way in and affect what comes out. It affects the foundation. It affects our process. It affects how we see life. It affects how we treat others. It affects how we see marriage. It affects how we see parenting. It affects how we see work. It affects how we see church, God. I mean, all of these things by the things that we allow in. And most of the time, we're like, it's not that big of a deal, right? And just like air, it's not that big of a deal. If you don't take the time to get the air out, your foundation will crack. So with no filter, our thinking can be tainted by sin. The lights are going to come on, and we're going to look at a passage in Philippians. And Philippians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He planted this church in an area called Philippi. And this was a letter that he wrote to them after he planted the church, kind of sent back to them and said, hey guys, I want to tell you some things. And this is Philippians 4, verse 8. We're only looking at one verse today, and at least for this part of it. And I just want to give you a chance. If you have the YouVersion app, which, of course, for the last series, a lot of you are wrapping up the Erasing Hell reading plan that we did for our Burn series. But YouVersion, tap on, Bible, I guess, and then it's New Testament. You're going to have to, kind of scroll down a ways and tap on Philippians and then tap on 4. And depending on your version of app, you might have to tap on 8 there as well. We're looking at the NIRV because I thought it does some cool things with understanding this passage. So, Paul writes this letter, and he's explained a whole bunch of things to this church in Philippi, three chapters worth of content, of different things that they need to work on, some things they need to change, some things they need to allow, some good things, some bad things, all that. And he's getting to the end of the letter. And this is, as you get to an end of a letter, you write, because you write letters on paper, and you put them in the post. And send them, but maybe you don't. But at the end of a letter, you kind of summarize things, you kind of give some concluding thoughts. And this is what Paul is doing here to this church in Philippi. And so that's why he says, finally. So he says, finally, he's wrapping up the letter. He says, finally, my brothers and sisters, always think about what is true. Think about what is noble, right, and pure. Think about what is lovely and worthy of respect. If anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about those kind of things. And I want to talk to the end of this passage, this verse, and then we'll come back and look at the beginning of it. But this idea where he says, think about these kinds of things. It comes from a Greek phrase that Paul wrote in Greek. The people spoke Greek at the time, and that's what this letter was written in. And it comes from a Greek phrase that means to strongly consider, to really chew on, to consider. Now, that actually almost has an accounting term to it. So like when it's almost like when you, hopefully, when it comes time, well, I guess we are in a modern era, if per se you actually had to balance your checkbook on your own without your computer, your phone, or your app, your bank doing it for you, and even when you're checking to make sure everything lines up, you want to carefully consider, because a zero matters, right? I mean, there's a big difference between $15 and $150, and $150 and $1,500. So a zero would matter. And so you want to make sure you take the time as you consider the accounting, as you consider through all that. That's what this word means. So he says, when you get to the end of all these different things, which we'll come back to, he says, consider them deeply. Really, really take them to heart. Take them into account in everything that you do. And so he's not just like, hey, you know, when you get around to it, think about it. You know, it's nothing. It's not like that kind of a, hey, I just want to throw an idea out at you. You know, think about it. Let me know. No, this is a serious consideration to mull over, to chew on, to really consider what these things are. And so as we look at these different things throughout this passage, Paul is at the end saying, look, all these things I just talked about, you need to chew on them. Chew on them deeply. Consider them deeply. And the reason being, and we'll get to this in a little bit, is that if you're thinking about these kinds of things, it's going to help filter the air out of your concrete. It's going to help get the extra stuff out that shouldn't be there, because these good things are going to give you what you need for a solid foundation, for a good thought process, for affecting the way you view all those things I talked about before, your relationships, your friendships, which is the same thing, I suppose, for you know, parenting, school, work, all of these things come back to this foundation. And so he says, look, focus on these good things, and that'll keep the extra junk out. So that's what this word means, to think about, to chew on, to consider, to deeply think about. So let's talk about removing the air. So we're going to go through, there's 8 different things in this verse that he talks about. And so I'm going to kind of summarize, and some of them, just to be clear, you know, they're sort of synonymous. You know, if I say something like, you know, I don't know, I just went blank. You know, something synonymous. I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive my van. It doesn't mean I have 2 different vehicles. It means my van is a car or something like that. I'm getting into my Ford Mustang. And if I were to say I'm getting into my sports car, you know, you would know those 2 things are synonymous. So that is a long-running joke, and it is not going to die. Okay, so but the point is that there's some that are synonymous. So just to be clear, you're like, well, you already said that one. That's okay. He's just trying to make sure in 8 different ways you get what he's talking about here, because this is such an important part of what is the foundation for all that we do and say. So some things to think about. He says to think about, the first thing is truth. Think about truth. So he says there in the first part of verse 8, it's all from verse 8. It says, finally, my brothers and sisters, which is everybody he's talking to, the church, and we today are the church. We are brothers and sisters to Paul as followers of Jesus. He says, finally, my brothers and sisters, always think about what is true. And this word true, and again, I'm going to throw you some Greek here just so you can kind of see the nuances. It's a cool word. The Greek word is aletheia, it means truth. And I like that word, so we named our second daughter, Aletheia. So we have Joy, which is Kara, Aletheia. And if we had a third girl, we were talking about Philea, which means love. And then we were like, yeah, Kara Fitch, Aletheia Fitch, Philea Fish. So we didn't do that one, and we had a boy anyway, so that was all good. But truth means that which is real, that which is authentic, that which is honest. And it's so hard to find those things today. I mean, there's so much that is not truth that is out there. I mean, look at those pictures. They're not true. They're filtered. They're fake. And how much of life is filtered and fake. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week, about expectations and looking at, you know, what are your circumstances look like. And, of course, compared to the Pinterest perfect, you don't measure up. And I just want you to know that that's not true. Facebook is not true. Facebook is only what people are posting that they choose to post. So that's why we're asking you, when you post for this contest this week using hashtag MC3NoFilter, that you're going to post something that's real, that's authentic. So he says, think about things that are true. And so I just want you to chew on this, to think about this. What things do you think about that are not? What are the things that you consider, whether you watch, you read, in your conversations with others, the music you listen to? Are there things that are not true? Because those untrue things are going to affect your thinking. And granted, I'm not saying that you need to know everything that's right and wrong. I'm not saying you have to be perfect knowledge of everything or whatever. But there are things, and I'm willing to bet, that you're like, you know what, this is not true. But I'm allowing it to influence me. And oh, it's not that big of a deal. Well, it isn't a big a deal until your foundation cracks and your post falls over. So he says, think about things that are truth. Think about truth. The second thing he says to think about is inspiration. And the reason I use the word inspiration is because that's kind of what the Greek word means here. In the second part of the verse here, he says, finally, my brothers and sisters, always think about what is true. Think about what is noble. And this word noble means something that is worthy of awe. It's something that's awe-inspiring, something that's inspirational, something that makes you go, wow, that makes me want to be a better person. That helps me want to grow. That makes me want to take a step in a good direction. And I'm not talking about like Oprah self-help, Dr. Phil stuff here. I'm just saying there are things that we do allow to influence our thinking that are not inspirational. They're just downright depressing. And then we walk around going, wow, I'm so depressed. I wonder why. I know probably part of the reason is because you need to stop watching that show on Netflix. Because you need to stop listening to that music. And again, all of these things aren't that, you know, oh, well, I was listening to this song and now I'm listening to this and everything's better. I'm not saying that. And that's not what Paul's saying. But he's saying these are things that we're allowing to influence our thinking that are affecting us in ways that we don't even realize. And so he says, think about things that are noble, that are awe-inspiring, that are majestic, something that is attractional, something that, like, yeah, I want to be like that. And again, it doesn't mean that everything you watch on TV has to be a Hallmark special. But do you get it? Like, there's got to be those moments where we say, wait a second, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't watch this. Maybe I shouldn't listen to this. Maybe I shouldn't do this because this isn't pushing me up. It's bringing me down. Then he goes on and says, think about obedience. And this is a good one because especially if you've grown up in church, if you've been a Christ follower for a while, like this third one, we kind of like it's easy to ignore it in a different way. But Paul says here, think about what is noble and right. Go back. Think about what is right. And this word right doesn't mean, first of all, conservative politically. It doesn't mean versus the left. It doesn't mean, you know, anything related to right and wrong in the sense of I think this is right, you think it's wrong, then we'll just go our separate ways. No. This is actually, the word means that is right in the eyes of God. That which is obedient. That which is expected by the rules of God. And so if you're doing something, if you're allowing something to influence your thoughts, whether it's, again, a conversation, whether it's music, whether it's television, whether it's your social media intake, whether it's whatever, if it is not right, if it is not honoring to God, then you shouldn't be thinking about it. Think about things that are right. Think about things that are honoring God, that are right according to His standard, not the standards of those around you, because that's the hard part. And we'll talk about this in a little bit. Because it takes work to get the air bubbles out, you're going to have to do some things that are going to take some work. You might have people at work that are talking together, and you're going to have to be the one that's going to get looked down upon because you're going to excuse yourself politely from the conversation. Why? Because there's things that are being said that are not right according to God's law. And we're allowing those voices to influence us. You allow those things to shape us. And let's not even talk about news and media. And I don't care whether you're MSNBC or Fox News. It's all now about, let's see how we can hype something else. And it's not truth. And we'll get to that in a little bit too. But this idea of what is right, and that's what we need to be thinking about. If it is right, not according to your friend's standard, not according to your crowd standard, it's okay, hon. No. According to God's standard. Those are the things we need to be thinking about. Think about truth, inspiration, obedience, purity. Think about purity. And that's a word that's kind of weird and sounds narrow-minded, and you need to wear like a bonnet, I guess, if you talk about purity and you look like, Blue Bonnet, the butter lady. The Blue Bonnet butter lady. Or was that Sunbeam? No, she's eating. Anyway. He goes on and says, finally, my brothers and sisters, always think about what is true, think about what is noble, think about what is right and pure. And the word pure means uncontaminated, clean, free from defilement or evil or impurity. And purity is a hard thing because we're like, well, that's not that big of a deal. And Paul says, look, these things are going to influence us. They're going to shape us. They're going to crack our foundation if we allow them in. And it's easy to ignore. Like, it's not that bad. Well, it might be this, but at least it's not. Let me just talk about this, okay? So just full disclosure, there are very few songs in the world with the theme No Filter. Okay, so if you're here for HEU, enjoy HEU. It's going to be awesome. Enjoy the pizza. I'm apologizing for the 4-song playlist that you're going to hear over and over and over. There's still debate about whether 2 of them are the same song done by different artists. But here's the crazy thing, right? I use an undisclosed jungle-themed shipping company, and I use that jungle-themed shipping company with their 2-day shipping and some of the other features they have. But that's also where I go for my music. And there's a number of songs that will have in bold brackets, full letters, explicit after it. And that means they're going to be dropping a bomb. You know, maybe an F, maybe an S, whatever. There's going to be a bad word in there. And so I'm like, okay, don't listen to that. Now, the funny thing is that they've been doing that. Like, there's the clean version of some Hillsong music. I'm not sure what the unclean version of that is. I'm not sure how that works. The worship stuff. So their filters aren't exactly perfect. But here's the crazy thing to me. You can't use that as your guide. Because there is a bunch of crap that is not explicit according to Amazon's terms that is not at all appropriate for anyone to be listening to, much less my family and my children. And we're like, well, it's not that bad. I mean, they only use this word so many times. He says, whatever is pure, if it's free from impurity. And upstairs, Kendra, she's teaching in Ignition today and teaching your kids the same idea about what we bring in. And she's restole, I think we've stolen it back and forth. I shared this a couple of weeks ago, the idea of dog poop in pure water. And she collected some, so kudos to her. So ask your kids about how pure is. Because as soon as she puts just a little tweezer bit into pure bottled water, that affects everything. So that is the idea of purity. Are we thinking about things that are pure? It was Mike, wasn't it? Isn't that inspiring, uplifting, kids? Look at all the baby. Like, there's a whole baby conversation going on right now. All right. It was the dog. Dog poop and water scared the kids off. Okay, so continuing on. He says, think about loving. And here's something, too, that about this passage. Again, if you grew up in church, you probably knew this. This is, you know, classic youth pastor content to teach students, like, hey, God wants you to think about all these things. And one of the things is this idea of loving. And he goes on and says, think about what is noble, think about what is lovely. And honestly, until I even studied this passage this past week, I was like, that just sounds so effeminate. Like, think about what is lovely. All right, maybe there's flowers in a meadow and it's, oh, gosh golly, what a good thing. And it just, I don't know, lovely just sounds like, okay, God, I'll work on that. But the word lovely doesn't mean weird, I don't know, whatever that is. But it actually means related to love. The word literally means toward love. And some translations actually use this idea, think about what is promoting peace. Because this idea is that if we're thinking about things that are lovely, that are moving towards love, we're thinking about things that are loving. And the things that you are thinking about, are they pushing you closer to loving others, to loving God, or are they pushing you away? Especially when you start looking at social media, when you start looking at Mifflin County alerts, when you start like, hey, I just want to share one quick thought, I need some help with something, boom, let me 3,000 people share how awful you are for whatever that thing is. Oh, well, I like pets. Oh, how awful you like pets. I hate pets. Oh, how awful you hate pets. I hate and like pets. Oh, how awful you for being indecisive. Like, I mean, it's just whatever. It's just so much things that is not pushing us towards love. And please, get your butt off of it. Get your comments off of those things. Stop. Because that is not lovely. Whether you are right or wrong, you are not promoting love. So are you allowing these things to filter into your thinking? Because they're affecting your output. I just was told last week that the open line in the undisclosed local newspaper is now not allowing negative comments. That any negative comments will automatically be deleted unless you put your name to it. And I'm like, ah, good for them. But this idea of promoting love, are the things that you're listening, are the things that you're talking, people you're talking to, the things you're reading, the things, all of these things, the things you're watching, are they promoting love? If they're not, then they're not lovely, and you shouldn't be thinking about them. Moving on, he says, think about respect. Think about respect. He goes on and says, think about what is lovely and worthy of respect. Worthy of respect means something that is admirable or praiseworthy or positive. What things are you thinking about that are positive? That are respectful. Like, this is good. This is helping me. And again, it's kind of synonymous with some of the things we've talked about before. But he says, think about things that are worthy of respect. And other people, like, would your great-grandmama be glad that you were thinking about those things? Well, then it's probably not worthy of respect. And I'm not saying that I don't know your great-grandmama. But I'm just saying that's the idea. It's something that people would say, that's a positive. That's a good thing. That's something that, and again, kind of this idea that we talked about earlier about inspirational and this positive thing. Think about things that are positive, that are worthy of respect. Think about things that are good in this idea of, I missed something here. Did I miss one? Anyway, worthy of respect means respectful. And that idea. Okay, moving on to the next thing here. The third thing is excellence. Thinking about things that are excellent. And if you were born in the 80s or in the 70s, Keanu Reeves, let's get it out, right? Excellent. Okay, or Bill and Ted, you know, that's Bill and Ted there. Or Wayne and Garth. You know, excellent. Like, yes, that's all great and cool and stuff and excellent.
Okay, totally. All right. So, but this is way more than that. All right.
So he's talking about this idea of something that is excellent. He says, if anything is excellent, if virtue, outstanding moral goodness, excellent character. Like, this is the word excellent starts with the word excel. And it's a good thing it has nothing to do with spreadsheets. Little Microsoft humor for you there, because I am not good at spreadsheets, but this idea, neither am I good at excelling, but this idea of excellent, excel is something, this is beyond us, this is better than us, if it's better than you, and I don't mean in some sort of, you know what I'm saying, not an arrogant, like, oh, you're better than me, but if it's, wow, this is something to aspire to. This is something that is excellent. This is great. This is honoring to God. This is a good thing. This is drawing me up. He says, if it is excellent, we need to think about it. Outstanding moral goodness, excellent character, the things that we need to think about. And then finally, he says, we need to think about things that are worthy of praise. Think about praise. And this phrase, I mean, it goes at the very end of the passage. If anything is excellent or worthy of praise, the idea of praise, of commendation, of honoring something, like this is worthy of praise. This is special. This is unique. This is not a, hey, everybody gets a participation trophy kind of moment. All right? This is a, wow, you actually won something. Here's your trophy. Congratulations. That is praise. That's this idea of praiseworthy, of something that is better than average. Sorry if I totally destroyed your childhood. Better than average. Like something that is worthy of, like, this is something to aspire to. Again, the same kind of concept. This is lifting me up. This is an exceptional kind of thing. This is something that's better than the rest. That this is not just kind of like what everybody else is doing it. And you know, as the way is with our life, with sin, frankly, you know, that everybody else is doing it level just keeps dropping. So, you know, what months, you know, before everyone else was doing it was like, wow, I wish I could be that good. You know, now we're like, oh, everybody else is doing it. Like, just this idea of being above, better than average, if it's worthy of praise, he says, to think about, consider, careful accounting to these things. So, here's the things, just to summarize. Think about truth, inspiration, obedience, purity, loving, respect, excellence, and praise. Eight different things that all have this same idea. What are you allowing to influence your thoughts? What are you allowing in? And again, it's this idea of the air. Like air, that's not that big of a deal. Well, it is if you don't get it out because it'll crack the foundation. And what are the things that you're allowing into your thoughts that you're like, it's not that big of a deal? Well, it is influencing you. And are those things truth? Are they inspirational? Are they about obedience to God? Are they about purity? Are they about loving others and loving God? Are they about respect? Are they about excellence, something better? Are they worthy of praise? Would God go, wow, good thing. Glad you're thinking about that. Why? Because with no filter, our thinking can be tainted by sin. And this is the issue. Next slide. There we go. With no filter, our thinking can be tainted by sin. See, these things, they influence us. They infiltrate. They get in. And then it affects everything we think about. It affects everything we do. And the thing is, this is the... Unless you have one of those, like... Well, I guess it's how old you are. One of those cats in the cradle moments. Have you ever heard that old song where this dad doesn't have time for his son, and the son's writing the song like, "Dad never had time for me. Always, you know, busy doing stuff, and never had time for me." And then he gets to the end of the song. It was a trumpet. But at the end of the song, he's like, "And then I realized that I was just like my dad." Or maybe it was my boy was just like me. I did it backwards, didn't I? Yeah, I did it the other way around, didn't I? Yeah. So the point being, I had the melody. Yeah. So, boy was just like me. Yeah. He never had time for his dad. There it is. There we go. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I knew something didn't fit. He didn't have time for his dad. That's right. And then as he grew up, that's what it was. Thank you. Fixing that. Then all of a sudden he realized that his son didn't have time for him. And it was one of those things like, oh, it's probably not that big of a deal until he realized how this thinking had influenced him and how it had influenced his son. And I'm just saying the same thing to you. There are people around you. There are things that you are doing. There are things that you're not doing. There are things that you're saying. And you are thinking this isn't that big of a deal. And you might have one of those moments where you hear your son yell out the same thing that you yelled out in anger. And you're like, oh. I didn't think that mattered. Or you hear your kids repeat the same thing that you listen to on the radio. Or they start talking about their friends the way they overheard you talking on the phone about your friends. Because these things, if we don't filter them out before they come in, they're going to affect our thinking. And it's going to taint everything that we do. And we are. I mean, we are tainted. We are sinful people. We spent the whole last month talking about how our sin is sending us to hell. And that's why Jesus comes in. That's the beautiful thing about this. But we need to make sure that we're doing it from the front end of things. So I want to take the last few minutes here and share three. There's no real I just picked three because I think these are three things. These are three thought things to filter. And these three thought things to filter, let's see how many times I can say that. These three thought things to filter are things that I think that are easy for us to overlook. That's why I picked these three. Now, there's tons of things we need to filter, and we already looked at kind of the opposite end of that list in Philippians 4:8. But I want to just kind of pinpoint a couple of things that I think, at least for in our context, in our era, in our generation, these are things that are easy to overlook. And I just want to maybe shine a little light on them so you go, oh, I guess I should worry about that. I guess I should think about that. The first thought thing to filter is temptation. We need to filter out temptation. We need to these things that are going to tempt us to sin. And I'm not saying sin. Sin is wrong. You should already not be sinning. But there are things that we know are going to lead us into sin, that are going to entice us. One of the synonyms for temptation is a snare, a trap. And no one, no creature, no being, whatever, usually sees a trap and jumps right in. That's the whole point of a trap, is that you don't see it and then it catches you. But if you happen to know that it's a trap, that there are traps in an area of the woods. Oh, that's where everybody goes bear hunting with their bear traps, right? That's the foot thing, maybe? Sure, just pretend it is. I know what I'm talking about. You might say, hey, you know, I probably shouldn't walk around that area because I could get caught. It has nothing to do with whether you actually are caught. It's just avoiding that area so that you don't even have the risk. And this is the idea that when it comes to filtering our thoughts, we need to get rid of those thoughts that are going to tempt us. Not even getting to the point. I mean, it's sort of like the what do I have in here? Yeah, an alcoholic going to a bar. If you're an alcoholic, don't go to a bar. Why? Is going to a bar wrong for an alcoholic? No. But the temptation in a bar could lead an alcoholic to drink and to get back into their alcoholism. If you have a gambling problem, don't go to a casino. Okay? No going to casinos if you have a gambling problem. Why? Is going to a casino wrong? No. Is it wrong if you get caught back up into your gambling problem? Yes. Avoid the temptation. And filter that out. And that's the same kind of thing when it comes to our thoughts. Like, we can't play with snakes and not expect to get bitten. Like, it's something, why did this happen? Like, this is the way things are. So we need to avoid these temptations. And this is what James says. We actually have two passages here. James says, when you are tempted, you shouldn't say, God is tempting me. For God can't be tempted by evil, and he doesn't tempt anyone. So let's just clarify that. God does not tempt you. But he says, but your own evil longings tempt you. They lead you on and drag you away. They're a trap. They're dragging you away. There's nothing wrong with it. And then when they are allowed to grow, they give birth to sin. And then when sin grows up, it gives birth to death, which is what we talked about all last month. And so James says, look. Like, you need to avoid not even just the sin, but watch out for those things that are going to be temptations to you. What are the things that you're watching? That you're listening to, the people that you're... I'm saying the same thing over and over and over, guys. What are the things that we're doing that are like, you know what? I know that if I watch that, it's going to raise thoughts in my mind about whatever. And you can say, I'm going to stand strong and stand firm and not fall to the temptation. That's fine. Good. Great. Good luck. But you're stupid. Like, don't get in the temptation in the first place. Avoid as much as possible. I know that there's things that come, but just this idea of what are we allowing in? And if there's things that you know tempt you to sin, whether it's a person you talk to that leads to gossip, whether it's that website that you visit, whether it's that post thread that you like to follow, whatever it is, whether those people you hang out with after work, whatever those things are, James says, look, don't let them, they'll catch you and they'll pull you in. And as Paul said earlier, don't allow these things to influence your thinking. And in Psalm 1, we actually looked at this passage back in our next series. It was the very first week, which was it was the 7th, if you want to listen to this more in depth. But we're actually going to talk about this passage again in a few more weeks. The writer of Psalm says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. What leads to that? It's avoiding those things that are temptations, avoiding walking and hanging out with the wicked, standing around with sinners, sitting with people that mock, and the implication here is mock God. So if you're surrounding yourself with people, and we're going to cover this topic in a few more weeks, but if you're surrounding yourself with people that are influencing your thoughts and leading you into things that are not appropriate, and I'm not, you know, whatever, that lead you to say things, think things that you shouldn't, get them out of your life. It might take some work. It might even make people mad at you. And again, if you're just a jerk about it, then just don't be a jerk. But that doesn't mean, even if you're the nicest person ever, you might still have people that are hurt. And you just need to decide what's more important, your friend's hurt feeling or dishonoring God. Ouch. Kind of Jesus juked you on that. It sounds like classic youth pastor talk there. Like, ooh, who do you want to care about, your friends or God? But it's true. So we need to filter out and avoid temptation. The second thing, getting a little bit more, negativity, a little bit more something. Negativity. This is another thing that I think we allow to influence us. And again, I'm not talking like just think positive and everything will be okay. You might have been raised by Barney, the purple dinosaur. But everything's duperty duper. But there are a lot of things in our lives that are negative, that are negative influences. And again, I recognize you can't filter out everything. You can't. It's not possible. There are things that are going to be presented to you that you just, wow, I didn't see that coming. But this idea of what are the things we are considering and chewing on that we're holding in our account and we're taking a deep account of. Negativity is one of those things. And it's easy because negativity is so easy. And negativity is a church people problem. I'll just be straight. Like, negativity is outside in the world, yeah, but it's a church people problem too. Because we have, did you say they didn't come this week? Oh, I'm a better person than them. Okay, maybe. Maybe right by saying that, you're not now. they let me down. I mean, they you don't hear what they said. I mean, and we don't deal with that much here at MC3. But, dude, it doesn't take much. Just allow that stuff to influence our thinking. And then all of a sudden, we're negative about stuff. We're negative about other people. We're negative about the people we serve with. We're negative about people that serve with us. Why do they do it that way? They should have done it this way. How come that didn't happen? If I were in charge, I would do this. Like, you know what? Nobody's perfect, but we need to avoid this negativity because it influences. It influences our thinking. It influences our opinions about other people. And let me tell you this. I love Jason. I'm going to just call out Jason D here. JD, as I call him, because there's a lot of other Jasons all around and stuff. But, if I said, hey, John, you know, Jason, he was wearing blue shirt today, and blue shirts are totally dumb. That was just a comment. I don't really like blue shirts on JD. Sorry, it's just my thing. John now has this thought planted in his head. Like, okay, I guess you're right. Yeah. And if John doesn't deal with that thought, which we'll talk about in a moment, then all of a sudden he's got an opinion. He's got a negative opinion. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Every time I see him wearing blue, I'm going to realize, God, he's just not a good guy. You know? And these things happen. And the best thing is if you spend time by yourself, and I am guilty, I spend my week alone in my office. And ain't nothing like my old head to mess up and drive thoughts into a crazy, crazy way. They said, hey, Sean, I can't make it. They hate me. They're leaving the church. They're going to cause a division. Everyone's going out there, and it's just going to be me here on my own. The building is going to collapse, and I'm going to die. I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. Those things happen. And I've learned, frankly, I need to, like, hey, why did you say that? Oh, because my car broke down, and I couldn't make it. Oh, okay. And we're going to talk more about that, this idea of believing the best, and we're going to actually watch a video we watched years ago, watching it again because it's such good content. So let's talk about negativity. Hebrews 12, the writer of Hebrews says this, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. This is a big deal. Grace of God is amazing. God overlooks, but says, you know what? I love you no matter your flaws. I love you no matter your issues. And he says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And this idea of a poisonous root, dude, I love working in my yard. I love the lawn. And I hate clover. I hate clover. It is insidious because it's like a vine. And you're like, ooh, I'll pull that one out. And then it's still like, ha ha, I'm over here, sucka. And like, it's so hard because it just spreads. It spreads under the surface. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says. Look, we can't allow this negativity to crop up. We need to stop it. We need to deal with it because it's going to influence and affect everything. So if you have an opinion about someone else that's negative, one, well, let's talk about what you need to do with that. But one, don't share it. But here's the other thing you need to do with that thought. And we looked at this verse a couple months ago. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. He says, we're taking down anything that is not honoring to God. So how do we do that? We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So if you have a negative thought, or if someone shares a negative thought about you, or you're sitting in this room right now going, yeah, I wonder about blue shirts, then you need to take that thought captive and say, God, do blue shirts honor you? And if they do, or even if they don't, you can still, as the Hebrews writer said, say, you know what? But God's grace goes beyond blue shirts. But this idea is saying, you know what? I'm not going to let this thought influence me. I'm going to filter it before it causes problems, before I start telling other people. And before you know it, come in on a Sunday morning and no one is wearing blue shirts and Jason's out in the parking lot crying. Because that's how this stuff spreads. And so we need to say, no, I'm stopping it right there. And if someone shares that thought with you, and again, you can't stop yourself. You can't stop people from talking to you. That's life, you know. But you say, okay, right now, is this something that's honoring to God? Take that thought, filter it, and say, no, it's not honoring to God. I'm going to let it go. And even if the blue shirts is a sin thing, even if it is an issue, I'm still going to love that person and not allow that negativity to influence me. I'm not allow that root to become a bitter weed that spreads throughout everything that we do. So, temptation, negativity, and again, as you look at these things, you know, what are the ways you need to filter them out? Yes, we have a contest going, starting now. But maybe you need to drop Facebook. And I'm not talking about your security and identity theft issues. But maybe there is just so much on there that is driving negative thoughts in your mind that you need to walk away because it's influencing you. Maybe, again, there's a friendship group. Maybe there's a phone call that you need to stop having. Maybe there's people you need to stop talking to. There's shows you need to stop watching, whatever, that are leading you to temptation, that are causing negative thoughts. And then finally, your identity. And I think this one is the easiest to overlook. And your identity as a human being is you are 100% loved by your Creator. And if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have chosen to believe in His death on the cross for you, you are His child. You are a child of God. And that's what Galatians 3 says. Paul writes to the church. He says, look, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. He says, there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are His heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. What does this mean? It means, as a follower of Jesus, you are the child of God, and nothing is going to change that. And as we've said this many, many times before, and I did not come up with this, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less. And there is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. You are His child, as is, right now. And you know what? You're not perfect, and neither am I. And we need to realize that we're not perfect, and that's what Jesus is all about. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he died, to say, you are my child, and I love you, and I will always love you. And you don't need to perform. You don't need to meet the standard of what is online. You don't have to make everybody around you happy. You don't even have to make people around you like you. If you're obnoxious, fix that. But the issue for you is to recognize your identity, that you are a child of God, and every human being is created in the image of God and is loved by their Creator. That is the thing that we need to filter, because we allow that to influence us and think, oh, I guess I do need to do this. I guess I do need to act like that person. I guess, wow, everybody's wearing blue shirts. I guess I need to get a blue shirt. And the point is, you know what? None of that matters, because you are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And nothing can take that away. And it doesn't matter whether you're Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, child, loved by God. And perhaps that's something you need to filter out. You need to deal with the identity problems that are being thrown at you about who you should be, how you should act, what you should look like, how perfect you should be, what your picture should be, your perfect profile picture and your Pinterest perfect and all of these things. And recognize, you know what? You're God's child. And that's your identity. That is the standard that we have to keep. So these are three thought things to filter. Temptation, negativity, and identity. Are these things influencing your thinking? Because they're going to crack your foundation. And so I just encourage you, even though it seems like it's not going to matter, it's not a big deal, oh, it's not bothering me that much, here's the crazy thing about it. Probably people around you do see those things affecting you. Maybe you need to ask someone, hey, is this something I need to filter out of my life? Because with no filter, our thinking can be tainted by sin. We need to filter the things that we're allowing in so that they won't affect things that are coming out. And we're actually going to talk about some of these things coming out over these next few weeks. But let's start with the things that we are allowing in and filtering in. Whatever things are honorable, lovely, true, noble, just, excellent, praiseworthy, think about these things. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for just how great you are and how loving you are towards us. And I thank you that even when it comes to this idea of filtering out the stuff in our lives, getting rid of the air that's weakening our foundation, that you will help us. As followers of you, we have your Holy Spirit, God in us, to help us do these things. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would, first of all, show us the areas that we need to filter out, the things that are influencing our thinking and are influencing us in a way that we don't even realize. Help us to filter them out, so that we can honor you. So once we see those things, help us to take the hard steps, God, to do what it takes so that our thinking is not tainted by our sin and that we can honor you in not just what comes in, but what comes out of our thoughts, of our words, of our actions. And thank you so much, God, that we are your children, that as followers of you, those that believe in what you have done for us on the cross, we are a child of God, and there's nothing that can take that away from us. That we are heirs to everything that your children receive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.